Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the gang. You know, the one you never asked to be a part of. You are listening to the Grief Gang podcast with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. This podcast has been created to tackle the tough but important conversations around grief with authenticity, realness, and having a laugh whilst we're at it. Look, we're all going to experience grief at some point in our life, in some way or another. So it's good to talk about it, so that it's not much of a nightmare when it comes knocking at our doors. Grief can be incredibly lonely and isolating, but you don't have to feel lonely alone. On this podcast, you will hear various different stories and experiences, ones that will uplift you, inspire you, break your heart, mend your heart, and get you asking yourself some big questions. Some of these stories are my own, some are from the wonderful growing Grief Gang community, and some are from the incredible guest interviews. You will most likely cry. I hope somewhere along the line you can get a giggle in. But I promise you, you will learn something. I haven't got a clue what you'll take away, but I know you will take away something. So this might be weird to say given the context, but happy listening. Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's episode. I'm so sorry if in this intro I sound vile and bunged up, because I am. It's the second time this season alone that I have somehow caught a cold. I've got a cold in May. What the fuck is wrong with me? Anyhow, I'm so elated to share today's episode with you. Today, I'm talking with Sally and Imogen from Good Morning Podcast. And if you are an avid podcast, grief podcast listener, you will have heard and probably tune in to Good Morning Podcast. Sally and Imogen are just doing incredible things over on their podcast, on their platform, to, like me over here, normalize the topic of grief one conversation at a time. And they are just so funny, lovely, and just amazing women, and I absolutely adore them, and I'm so very grateful to call them friends and to have them here today on the podcast. Today's episode is very, very humorous, as I expected it to be. It is honestly kind of just like three friends just hanging out today and shooting this shit, talking about grief. And the girls talk about obviously their book, their mums, what it's like to be navigating this world of loss with a platform. And we really just get into it and have a great time. And I do apologize in advance if your eardrums burst after this episode, because we really do have a ball. You can find the girls over on Instagram on Good Morning Podcast and enjoy and be part of their community over there.
It's so good to be here, Amber. Like, I feel like we know each other so well because we've been chatting on the interwebs for such a long time. So It's so nice to be here with you. And
no, we have, and it is. I love you guys, and it does. It feel it, it is. It has been like years when you, it's the stuff. That's the strangest part, I think. Like with like our like corner of the internet of like people be like, oh, how do you know them? And like, oh, I've just known them for years, like through online, and just like the connections and the friendships that you make, and like in when you were here, and I was telling my boyfriend, like, he's like, who are you going with this thing tonight? I was like, I want to go with him, and she runs a podcast, and he was like, what the fuck?
And
like,
I cried when I met you.
Yeah, Amber rock up with a gin.
In a handbag, a can of gin, though. And I was like, yes, you are my soul sister. I was like,
can we drink on the train? And I was like, girl, get it fucking down, yeah.
Yeah. And I cried because it is that thing. It's like, I feel like I've known you for so long and we've just got that kind of instant connection. And yeah, it was a very special moment, that International Grief Conference, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, yeah. IGC. It was a bit of an IGC.
That's right. And you guys FaceTimed me and you were drinking like wine and having pizza with Rebecca Sofa from Modern Lost. It was like grief big dogs just hanging out in London.
It was just like, it wasn't. We were missing you. And it was like, it's just so weird how the world conspired. And you're just like, wow, we can all end up from different corners of the world here. And just, we've been speaking for so long and connecting. So no, it's an absolute pleasure to have you both here today. And I mean, firstly, just right out of the gates, congratulations on the incredible book. Obviously, as I've said, I've not read it yet because I'm on pause for our lovely book club, but it's literally in the corner of my eye. I should really fucking have it in my hands. What am I playing at?
Get it out.
God's sake, Amber. But amazing, ladies. You have done such an incredible thing with this book, and it is helping already so many. How do you feel since this book is out? And give us a little taste, girls, of what's in this book.
It feels really good, like, to have it out in the world, because we were like working on it for so long behind the scenes and we couldn't talk about it. So yeah, it feels really good to be able to share it with everyone. It's, I guess, the book is like a grief support group in a book form. So we wanted to create something that was really visual, really digestible. Like we were talking earlier before we started the pod, like some of the grief books that you can get are really theoretical and really heavy. And when you're grieving, like, nobody's got time to like sit and labor over like a 500 page, like, dense book, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the last thing you need. So we wanted to create something really fun and, dare we say it, like, uplifting, that kind of brings in our lived experiences with grief, but lots of really easy tips and also stories from other grievers. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, isn't it, Im?
It is a mixed bag, and it has actually been called uplifting, which we loved. I'm like, how do you make a book about death and grief uplifting? But somehow we did it, and that was our aim. So we were so happy that that's been well received. And yeah, like Sal said, who's got the brain to be reading a heavy theoretical bloody book after your loved one died? So yeah, it was really important for us to make it really easily digestible and something you can just pick up, put down. Doesn't matter where you open it, there'll be a bit of information that's hopefully helpful to you. You don't have to like flick through heaps of chapters of text. And yeah, but thank you. Thanks for having us on. And it's been a journey.
From what I flicked through the book, it's just, I was saying to you, it's so beautifully, aesthetically, I even hate that, aesthetically pleasing, like it's so fucking millennial, but like it is so true. And when you're in those, whatever kind of stages, like if you're turning towards a book about grief, like it needs to be digestible. And like, as we're saying, like with the body keeps a score, fantastic book, but fuck me. Like,
where's the instructions, Bessel? Like, we need some visual stuff happening here.
Like, we need, when you're in that rawness of grief, you need to be spoon fed stuff. Like, this is how it is, and kind of, you know, there's no guide and 5-step rules being like, do this, this and that, and you're going to be good. But it needs to be digestible and not long-winded. And I think that's what you've just done perfectly with the book. And so I just wanted to get that in straight there. You're amazing. And it's helping so many people already. Thanks, but I've just realised before I've got once the fucking book, who the fuck are you? You know?
We're just published authors, all right? partner. It's so weird. I don't think I'll ever get used to that. Fucking published authors.
I know. How weird. Carrying that title.
Imposter syndrome is real, mate.
Can you, for me, lady, just spend a little bit of time telling the listener, although I know absolutely majority are going to know who you are and how did you two, Gems, meet each other?
Well, we're Sal and Im, and we are the co-hosts of the Good Morning podcast, and now authors of the book Good Morning, Honest Conversations About Grief and Loss, said book. We both, our mums died suddenly, months apart, and we lived in the same city, so we're down under, we're in Sydney. But yeah, basically our mums died months apart. We're both living in Sydney, and we were both in our early 30s and just like, what the fuck? No one talks about grief. And we didn't really think about grief until it happened to us. And now here we are. And there are just like, there's hardly any like resources or relatable support here in Australia anyway, that really spoke to us. We couldn't find like many support groups in Australia or resources. Mm. And then we had a chance meeting, didn't we, Im, in a pub. And became really, yeah, just as a there's a theme. And yeah, we became mates and like, we've got loads of things in common, not just dead mums, but yeah, we were like, we'd just sit for hours, wouldn't we, Im, and talk about grief and all these things and be like, oh my God, are you exhausted? And we'd be like, oh my God, yes. So it's not just me. Are you anxious? All the things that, you know, we just don't talk about because society doesn't really acknowledge the experience of grief. And then, yeah, we just became fast friends, and that's how Good Morning was born, really, wasn't it, Im, from like a desire to talk more about grief and open that conversation here in Australia.
Yeah, and I think we both felt super lonely. Like, that's the thing about grief, right? Doesn't matter how well supported you are, how many friends and family you've got around you, like, it's still a really lonely and isolating experience, which took us both by surprise. And that's sort of what led us to a support group. And we were like, I'm not a support group type of person. Like, we've got friends, you know, it's just, it was really out of our comfort zone, but we just really craved to connect with somebody who knew exactly what we were going through. And I think that was outside of our circle, because I guess that's the other thing about grief is everyone's, if you're all grieving the same person, everyone's coping differently. It's a real shit show, right? So you kind of need someone out of that to get through it with. And yeah, so we ended up at a pub one afternoon and there were 10 people there because it was like peak COVID, so not many people could go. And Sal turned up late, I remember. Yeah. And then like she sat opposite me. It was like sliding doors. She sat opposite me. And then I was like, you know, when you just, you meet someone and you're like, yep, yeah, they look like my kind of person. So I kind of already instantly knew that we'd get along just by looking at her. I was judgmental. And she went up to the bar to get a – she actually got a coffee, not a drink. And someone took her fucking seat. I'm like, no, that's my unspoken friend seat who I've never met before, but I, she's supposed to be sitting there.
Bestie, like, see, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, literally. And then she ended up sitting up at the other end of the table, but like we kind of went around the table and all went, oh, yeah, Imogen, my mum did, my mum died too, blah, 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 how, telling her how our mums died. And Sal had lost her mum suddenly. So I was like, oh, we can relate on that. Like, we both know the sudden loss of our mum. Mm-hmm. And then she fucking left early. I didn't even get to talk to her. Yeah. Out the back
just
door.
Just keeping you on your toes.
And so I like stalked her on, because there was a Facebook group, and so I like stalked all the attendees and yeah, found her. I was like, yep, that's her, like bleach blonde hair, let's go. And just messaged her. And we were so polite. We've got our messages actually in the book. We shared our first ever messages to each
other.
Hello,
Sally.
We were so polite. But yeah, and then we just hit it off from there and became like grief besties.
Oh my God, Imogen, that is so funny that you stalked. I did not know you stalked her down.
Yeah, that was me.
No, I love that. But I so know what you mean of you find that, and I really do want to talk a lot about the importance of friendship and finding that camaraderie in somebody else and kind of how that can sometimes be the thing that saves you. And I think it's really, really underrated when talking about grief support is just finding a good fucking friend in it. because
you've got that with Poppy, haven't you?
Yeah, totally. Mm. Like it's a true synergy. Like as soon as hearing you talk about when you saw Sal him and just like knowing of like, you can almost just see like your future together. You're just like, yeah. I see that
you're
like,
person.
You're my person and we're just gonna, it doesn't matter what time of the day to just text random shit about grief. But then other stuff as well, like when you find somebody who's not, you know, just you're vibing on grief, but you can actually vibe on a whole other level. Like Poppy is 10 years older than me. And it's like Poppy laughs all the time and she's like, I'm 35, 36. And like, you are 10 years younger than me. Like in theory, like we shouldn't really have that much in common, but we do. And it's like, I know. And it's like either she's a young soul or I've got an older soul. Not old.
Well,
35
I think
is not old.
You must, because we're like in our 30, I'm 35. So, and I completely felt like you're on my level and.
I know, I must have an older soul.
Yeah.
I think you've just got your head screwed on, you're mature and yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm 36, so I must be 10 years older than you, but I feel like we are kindred spirits. We're on the same
absolutely,
level.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, or we're just really immature. Level. Maybe that's
All that,
there is a part of grief that you know you can have friends from whatever age, whatever backgrounds, because you are just all bound by this really shitty connecting thing in life.
It kind of transcends age, doesn't it? Really, the experience of grief.
Totally.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I was so shocked when you told me, when you were here, that and just said there as well, Sally, that in Australia there's like nothing for grief support. I was like, what the fuck?
There's really nothing. Like the UK, you guys have got a really good grief scene. Is that even the right word?
Buzzing.
You guys are like popping off when it comes to the old grief support. But like in Australia, there's just there's nothing, there's really not a lot. And that's what Im and I, you know, we'd spend hours talking about grief. If anyone overheard us, they must have been like, oh my God, these girls are great chat. But we were talking about like, there's just nothing, is there? Like, you know, we searched high and low and there wasn't anything that was really relatable for us and modern, I guess, or grief support that spoke to people of our age, 20s, 30s, 40s. And that the time when you don't necessarily expect to be grieving or to be navigating a big loss, you know, a lot of the resources we found were maybe for parents who'd lost a child or people who'd lost a spouse, maybe in their, you know, 50s, 60s and beyond. And so we just got talking about what we could do. And we thought about doing like a supper club. And then we were like, it's just been COVID. There's like lockdown.
No one will come.
The best idea.
Wear your face mask.
Yeah. And then it was like a bit of a, we sort of had a light bulb moment, didn't we?
Yeah, I think I might have called you on my way home. I'm like, I think we both like said it at the same time. It was weird. It was just like, yep, this is what we're doing, that podcast. But it was just a light bulb. And then it just happened so quickly, like within what, well, Sal does things very quickly. She's like, she's a mover and a shaker, which is amazing. But yeah, next minute we're like recording and, but oh, it was so funny though. I remember we were like, we'll do a podcast. We got all the gear. We set up and we like fully scripted our first episode.
Oh, it was awful.
It was so bad. We're like, mate, this is not working. Like, let's just get rid of the script and just have a chat and try it that way. And then I think we forgot to press record. Yeah. And
there's been many hilarious moments. But I think like you, Amber, we just wanted to create like a space where we could take a really unapproachable and difficult topic and make it approachable. Mm. And also like Im mentioned earlier, grief is really lonely. Even if you've got support, you can feel so alone, especially if you're like 20 in your 20s, 30s or 40s, when maybe a lot of your friends and people around you haven't experienced loss or haven't really experienced grief. So we were like, well, what's something that we would like? Basically, you know, a platform that talks about grief, but in a funny way. And like, it's like two mates just having a chat about a really difficult topic and making it accessible. Yeah. So yes, we were like, let's do it. And then just, yeah, the rest, as they say, is history.
Maybe laugh there, imagining you two like scripting the whole first episode, because you do. And that's the one, the whole beauty of just like with podcasting, it's so fun. You can explore so much. And, you know, we have digital recordings of our journey through podcasting and also through our grief as well. Like, you got to think, like, these trusty mics have stuck with us and heard a lot of heavy and dark conversations with one another or with ourselves and with people. And it's much, you know, like, so, I don't know, you guys feel like so fortunate to have the podcasts that we have and the platforms that we have to be able to have this digital diary of going through grief. Like, I listened back to a few of my old episodes and I was like, when I was like cringing, I was like, I sound about 12. And I was like, fucking hell. But then just even hearing like the growth in how I was talking about my grief, I was like, fuck me. And that was only 3 years ago. And to have that record, it's really, really special.
I remember like one of the main reasons why we scripted now, like reflecting back on it, because as well, it was like 6 months in for me and 9 months for you, Sal. So it was very fresh and like very traumatic, sudden losses. I actually couldn't think straight as well. Like I think that I wanted it scripted so I'd be like, knew what I was saying or knew what had happened, because I was in such a fucked up place mentally. I was like, I don't actually know if I can recall things easily, because grief brain, as you very well know, is a thing, right? And like something that we learned, like speaking to a world-renowned neurologist, is that your brain actually rewires itself after loss, and like the neural pathways change, the stress that we're going through our body can actually like activate neuroplasticity and impacts your cognitive function. So it actually like changes your brain. So I was so forgetful. Like, weren't we, Sal? We were just exhausted. Like, so that was, I think, was the big reason as well. It's like, I actually don't know if I can even remember anything that I need to say. So I was like, let's just write it all down so I don't forget. Yeah. But it didn't work.
We were so deep in our grief, really. Like, you were 6 months and well, I know we'll get onto this, but, you know, Im's mum died by suicide. It was really traumatic. And Im, we've spoken about this a lot, but you were a different person when I first met you to how you are now. And it was only really when we started doing the pod that it was like the cloud started to lift. But it was interesting, because I think the pod has been a, like you said, Amber, like listening back to your first couple of episodes, it has been a journey of us moving through our grief. And like from when we started the pod, you know, we were just still, we were in the trenches. And now like going through and listening to kind of how far we've come, it has been amazing to see the growth and how much it's helped us, I think, by talking about it and talking to people. And I'm sure you probably feel the same, right, Amber? Like talking to people about grief, like you've got so much knowledge now, you know how to help yourself, but also the act of talking is therapeutic, isn't it, as well?
Totally. And storytelling, I think podcasting is one of the most beautiful forms of storytelling, and being able to carry on legacies and people's stories. It's totally. I think very much starting out in this, I very much underestimated the huge role it would play in my healing and in my grief, and really part of like my grief toolkit, really. If like, when the brain is really foggy, first thing I'd probably think about is I'll jump on the mic. And that episode may never, ever get aired. It will never maybe get aired. There's been plenty of recordings I've done and I have never aired them. But just simply the art of just sitting down with me and my trusty mic, like my bestie mic, and just going, fuck me, this is how I feel today, or this is what's going on, and having that digital record. But yeah, I think, you know, we're so blessed, I think, you know, anyone in the space who's doing work, but context for us right now, you know, we're so blessed that not only the work that we do helps others, but it also helps ourselves as well. And you know, as the growth in all aspects for ourselves and for the platforms themselves, it's a really fortunate thing to be able to do. Exhausting at times, I know, for us all time. But it's a real blessing. You touched on this, Sal, about your mums. And I feel like I know so much about your mums, Vanessa and Rose. And do you know what it was? When I was actually writing my notes for this, I was kind of talking to myself out loud, just like, okay, this is like almost asking the questions out loud. I remember I got to someone of yours and I went, Vanessa. And I went, oh my God, no. That's her mum.
Oh,
and
my God.
Was so strange. And I was just like, because I think you're the spit of your mum. And like, so I see so, like, I just went, Vanessa. And I went, oh my God, no, don't fucking do that, Amber. Don't.
All right, Susan.
When it comes to the question, exactly. All right, Susan. Could you imagine? Oh my God, someone call each other by our mum's names.
Also, I fucking love your mum. Like, obviously never met her, but I just love your post about your mum. She seems like such a legend.
Oh, honestly, likewise, like you just, that's the best part I think about, like on our platforms and stuff. It's like, actually, that's the part I love most, of like actually seeing the people that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like seeing the pictures or reading a few words about like what they were actually like, because so often in grief and once somebody has died in your life, we're very much then just talking about then and the future, you know, the grieving now. And it's so often that, you know, I'm sure you guys have probably heard from many people of people just longing for those to ask them about what their person was like. And let's just go like, who was your mum? What were they like? What did they do for a living? I just want to know about them. So I want to ask you guys, what was your mum's like? What were they like? And how do they continue to play an active role in your life? Like how so? I'm going to come Sal first. Tell us about Rose.
Old Rose. So Rose was very, very gentle, very caring, very warm, very like considerate, but she drove like an absolute boy racer. Like it was like so polarizing. She was just so lovely and like always did things by the book and like very like softly spoken and just, but then behind the wheel, it was a frightening experience. But she was just my biggest champion, really. And just like, I'll be honest, like we didn't always have an easy relationship. In fact, it was actually really only when I moved to Australia and I think I started to mature and we started to understand each other on a bit of a different level. I think like me getting older, I now realize like how much I am like my mum and how there's so many similarities. Whereas when I was younger, I didn't think I was anything like her. And I was quite, you know, quite a rebel and kind of went against the grain.
You wouldn't pick it though, would you, Amber?
You wouldn't pick it now, but like back, yeah, I was like.
She's got some stories.
You were a bit of a punk rocker, weren't you, back in the day?
A little bit, yeah. I was quite a party girl, quite like to go against the grain. Yeah. Which you definitely wouldn't think now, but yeah, me and my mum, we clashed a lot. Like, and I think, you know, that was really difficult for me when she died, because we were just getting to a place where our relationship was actually getting really strong. And then, but I do feel like it has continued because, you know, things like asking for signs and going to see psychic mediums and continuing that bond, it's definitely like I feel like I understand her now. She's died on a very different level. Mm. But yeah, she was really warm, caring, really considerate, like just very loving, gentle person. And yeah, very curious as well. I think I get my curiosity from my mum. She was always very interested in people and things and yeah, just very curious about the world.
Love that. And I love what you said there of about continuing that relationship, because I think, again, that's a really important and to me an integral part of like accepting certain things in grief, because knowing that you can still continue to have a relationship with them. It doesn't have to just stop mm-hmm. at them dying. You can, and that's an active choice though. It's an active choice to choose to try and find ways to continue a relationship with your loved one beyond death. And for some people, it just doesn't ever twig for them. And that's absolutely fine. But so true, being active in choosing to continue a relationship. I love that, Sal.
Yeah, it's super important, I think. And easy to do as well. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be anything grand. Like I go and visit her, like ashes, which are scattered at a headland just by where I live, which, have I ever told you the ashes story?
No.
Oh my god! Just before we get onto Im really quickly, do you want to hear it?
Does it involve the ashes, wind, and your tongue? You know, is it
kind of? There's two parts.
You don't lick it. Don't worry, you don't lick the urn.
There's two lick the urn. There's two parts, right? So obviously, Mum was in the UK. I live in Australia. So in order to get her ashes back to Oz, I literally like had to go to the funeral home. They like decanted them into like a little shakery urn thing. Because they get like they come in a massive shaker. It was like they the do. Size of like a what yeah. like big, you know, like bigger than a 1 liter water bottle. And I was like, I can't take that on the plane. So they like gave me a little smaller one. So they went and decanted it. And then in order for me to take it through customs, I had to have her passport, her driver's license, and a letter from the funeral home saying yeah. it was her ashes. And when I went through the security, I had to literally give her passport over.
So they could identify her? Like, what the fuck?
It was so weird. I think
that's her, yeah. We're happy with that.
Like, it was so weird. And I just had this. Yep. Yeah, that's her. Yeah, I can tell. And it was one of those dark moments. And I know we have, you know, I think we're all on the same page, and probably most of our listeners, you know, sometimes you just have those weird moments in grief where you've just got to laugh. And like, totally. I have my mum in like a plastic bag, like the ashes in a plastic bag. So it was like a supermarket bag. Coles is like probably the equivalent like Tesco or something.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm like walking through the airport, like I've got my mum in a Coles bag. What the fuck is going on? What is my life right now? And then when it came to scattering them, like I wanted to scatter them where we got married, in the Royal Botanical Gardens in Sydney, overlooking the Opera House, really beautiful spot. And so I go there with me bag of ashes, and I'm trying to like put them on the spot where we got married, which is like near a really lovely flower bed. But like I had this vision that it would be like they just sort of, you know, float into the air and just be really beautiful. But it was literally like thick white chalk.
Oh,
like,
no.
And it was like landing on the floor. It looked like a crime scene, like, you know, the outline of a crime scene was so obvious. And I was like, oh, people were looking, because you obviously like it's a public space, and there's me with my bag trying to shuffle. Yeah. And so in the end, I was like, I'm really sorry, Mum, but you're going in the harbour because this just isn't working out. So I had to like throw them in the Sydney harbour.
I mean, could be worse.
Sorry, went really off topic then.
No, that is brilliant. That is worth topic. It. No, that is, yeah, that is too much. Oh, I was waiting to hear the whole throw it in the wind and it come back in your face, because I heard countless stories of that. And I'm just like, actually, yeah. My mum's buried. I don't think I could actually have coped of if the wind blew her pieces back into.
Because it's like thick. It's like, because of this bone, right? So it's not like fine. It's like, I can, if that happened, it'd be pretty horrific. Because yeah, they're pretty, some bits are chunky. You know what I mean? But
you've got her elbow there.
Yeah, but that's how I continue the bomb, by going to the spot where her ashes are.
Oh, that's it. That's like... where we were. That's where we were.
Continuing the bond theory. That's right.
That's where we are. That's where we were. Continuing the bond. You throwing chunks of your mum into the house.
My poor mum's still in the garage.
Oh, she's still. You still kept her harboured in the garage.
Oh, no.
She's in a Tupperware box, isn't she?
Oh, I don't know. She's at my sister's place. Can't even face that yet. Sorry,
no, mum. No, absolutely. I couldn't. It's just sauce, mum. You're staying there for a while now. Tell us about your lovely mum, Vanessa.
Oh, where do I start? My lovely mum, Vanessa, was such a character. She's one of those people that I feel like leaves an impression on you no matter who you are. And she is also one of those people that will see the absolute good in everybody. Like, even if you're not good, she'll find something good about you. And literally loved everyone, just loved so hard, loved life, was just the most loving and caring person in my whole world. So losing her was just a huge loss. There's a funny story actually to tell you how much she saw the good in people. I had my first boyfriend, like it was a really rough relationship. He was a bad boy. He ended up like getting into fights with people and stuff. He ended up having to go to court, and like my mum came to court to support him. And then gets worse, goes to court to support him. And then she's working at this drug and alcohol clinic in Manly at the time. And then she was like, oh, well, he had to do community service. So she's like, oh, he can come and do community service at my work. So she fucking got him to come and do community service at her work. So that's it. And I was like 14 at the time, you know.
Yeah. Hold on.
And she was like,
he's 14. At
14
time.
At the time.
I'm thinking you're like 20, 20.
No, mate, 14. And she was like, oh, he's a good boy. He's, you know, he's had a rough childhood. Like, you know, I feel sorry for him. Like, she was just that person that loved everyone. So, but yeah, she was a beautiful person and very exotic. And actually, there's a lot of similarities between Sal and my mum, which I think is another thing that's really interesting. Like when we're talking about how when we first met, we felt like there was this instant connection with each other, but they literally have the same hobbies, like the same favorite TV show, the same hobbies of reading the same sort of books in the sun. Like, it's so weird. So many things have been like, oh my God, yeah, my mum does that. Op shopping, their favorite activity to do, op shopping. So now Sal op shops on behalf of my mum, and she's kind of taken on that tradition.
Shops.
Oh, charity shops.
Charity shops. Yeah.
Looking for a bargain.
Op shop.
Yeah.
I like Im's mum used to give her magic bags, right? So like
full of secondhand
full
clothes.
Full of stuff that Im didn't want, basically. But now I give her magic bags.
Yeah, you can pick up three the other day. I got like three magic bags from the last time I saw Sal. But she actually gives me good things because we've got similar taste in clothes. So that's helpful.
It's so funny. Whenever I see her, like when we go to an event or something and we've both got our cards, I'm like, open your boot up. And I'm like,
I've got magic bags.
Mum used to do that. She's literally carried on that tradition. This is the thing I love about Sal so hard, is like she's such a thoughtful person. Like little things that I've told her over the years, you know, since we've been getting to know each other, she picks it all up and it soaks it all in, and then little thoughtful things like that she'll go and start doing. So I really feel like Mum sent her to me, and Rose sent me to Sal, because my middle name's Rose. My daughter's middle name is Rose.
That was when I was thinking about it, I was like, Rose. I was like, I could have sworn, Imogen's middle name is Rose. Again, how weird.
And my daughter's.
And just like how I'm like,
how did you know that?
Her middle name, Rose. Yes.
And we met at the Rose Hotel.
We met at the Rose Hotel. And also, I feel like my mum sent him to me because
I'm a boy racer.
You're a boy racer. You're the same star sign. Maybe it's a Virgo thing.
Maybe
it's a Virgo thing.
But like, Virgo. Do you drive like a boy racer?
And my mum was a Virgo. My mum was 24th of August, and she wasn't. I think she'd like to think she was, but she loved to tap on that clutch like that. Fucking, oh my god, I'd be seasick by the time I was like, oh my god, mum, back and forth, back and forth. So maybe it's a Virgo thing of just terrible, terrible driving.
Oh, but no, honestly, like as an expat, like. When I got back from the UK, like I was surrounded by love and support. Mm. And, you know, I had to go back for a month to sort out my mum's estate and the funeral and all that jazz. And I came back to Australia and I felt the absence of those connections massively. Mm. And I really, a lot of my friends that I've made in Australia all happened to also be from the UK and all really greatly just decided to move back within like the space of a year. So I found myself like, really craving to have those really like a really solid close connection again. Mm. And then so I do feel like mum knew that because I shared that with her, and I feel like she brought Im to me because Im is just a fiercely loyal friend on all levels. So yeah, I feel like our mums were conspiring together, weren't they, Im?
Yeah, well, we know they were because we spoke to Laura Lynn Jackson and she told us that we were from same soul group. So there we go.
Oh no, I love that. And I firmly believe too, yeah, that we're sending people in our lives and there's characteristics of our love. Or, you know, like when, probably it's been moments time throughout your friendship of like where you wish, oh, I so wish you got to meet my mum, or you look at them. Like, I look at Bobby so many times and I think, oh my God, my mum would think you were batshit crazy, but she'd love you so much. And like when you meet those new friends or those, you know, since your person has died and kind of you think, oh yeah, I so wish like my person or my people got to meet you and to see how much of like a wonderful light this person is in your life. But then, you know, the juxtaposition is that you've met because they've died, and it's real, it's conflicting, but it's so important. It's the perfect segue into wanting to speak a bit more about friendship and kind of the importance of finding, you know, that at least that one person who, as you said, so, you know, you had all this kind of group of friends, but you were longing for that closeness and like an individual of, you can have the large friendship groups who, you know, if you called upon, like would be there for you in some capacity, but the person that at like silly o'clock you can just send like a photo of your mum and be like, lol, just found this pic of mum, and like it just not have to have any sort of like teasing up to it. You can just drop the message or just call and be like, this is really shit, isn't it? Like, you can have a long streak of really good days, weeks, months, and it's just sometimes that grief shit will just hit you and you just want to talk to someone about it. And so having that really integral person who gets it and understands and knows that doesn't matter when or where, this grief can hit any time. But I wanted to ask you both of, you know, your friendship, you work together, you're like, I'm not with you guys, feel like I talk to Poppy every single day, probably you guys speak to each other every single day mostly, and just of how do you think your friendship and finding one another has helped aid your grief, like the magnitude of that? What do you, can you imagine a life without each other and what that would probably look like, and just how important is your friendship to one another?
Oh, I'm so snappy. I'll go. Someone asked us actually recently, like, how do you think your grief would look like had you not met? And we both agree, like, we'd be struggling, like hugely struggling, because as we touched on, it's really isolating and lonely. But also, like you mentioned, Amber, just having that person that even years later you can just send a pic of your loved one to, you can just pick up the phone when you're having a really bad grief week, you know, it's just so important. And we sometimes share our WhatsApp conversations on our Instagram, and it's like, yeah, people really resonate with it. But having that person to share our grief with has been hugely healing. And I'll speak for me personally, I think meeting Sal and starting Good Morning like saved my life in a lot of ways. Like, I was in a very, very dark, dark place. Felt like I was in a hole, you know, that just that deep grief hole where you're just like, I can't actually see my life getting any better, and I can't actually see myself not getting over this, because we don't get over it. But like, yeah, I just don't see life getting better. And I met Sal and we would talk for hours and hours. And the thing that I absolutely love about her is she is like the world's best listener. Like, she just held that bloody space for me, like no tomorrow. And something that we've identified, which Sal can go into, but our friendship started in the worst possible time of our lives. Like, we were at our lowest point and we became friends, which is really rare, isn't it, Sal? Like, to start a friendship that way.
Yeah, because, you know, Amber, I know you'll know this really well and a lot of your listeners will too, but when you're grieving, like, you don't really feel like your best self, right? It can really knock our self-esteem. You can just, you're exhausted, like you've got brain fog. Your brain just feels, you know, it's pickled, right? So it's not really the best kind of starting point to be on the hunt for a new bezzy, is it really? You're sort of like, well, you know, quite often you sort of feel a bit like, yeah. But Im and I, yeah, we found each other in like the darkest days of our lives, and that was really fertile ground for our friendship. And, you know, I think, I don't know where I'd be without Im, to be honest. It's like our friendship nourishes me on so many levels. And I think having that person to talk to about all things grief, and having, I feel like our friendship started off as a grief friend, but now it's just, we're just general besties, would you say, Im?
Absolutely.
Like, we've transcended the grief friend category, but but just having that person who can validate what you're going through as well, because, you know, like we were talking about, a lot of, if you're maybe in, you know, your 20s to your even 50s, if a lot of people around you haven't experienced loss, then as much as your friends might want to be there for you and try and support you, if they don't really understand, it's really hard to like truly have one of those conversations where you can really level with someone. And Im and I felt like it was like a mirror, you know. And Im just, yeah, it's just, I think I'd be really struggling if I hadn't met Im, to be honest. I wonder if I'd even know about all of the things that we know about and we talk about when it comes to grief. I just don't know. Would I have pushed it aside? Would I be working through it? I've got no idea, but I know that it would be a hell of a lot harder, that's for sure.
We'd still be going off the five stages of grief, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd still be like, oh, I'm sure I've hit acceptance now. I'm sure this should be over by now. Surely. Why aren't I getting any better?
Yeah. It is so true. And it's just kind of like holding up that mirror. And as much as those friends nearest to us who haven't experienced it, you know, may try their hardest. And I just did an episode with my partner Joe, and he was so honest of like, you know, as a partner, you can only learn and do so much as a partner. And it's not you throwing in the towel, but just the very simple fact of, this is, you don't know what this is like. You don't know. And so to encourage them to find other people who get it, and kind of, yeah, Poppy's like transcended for me as well, out of the grief. She's kind of got out of the grief friend bucket and is just a really good friend now. And it's so important. And I know for some people it's like, well, they might look at us and our situation and be like, well, lucky for you guys, you know, you just got lucky and you just like found your people. It's like, but no, we were quite like active in finding one another. It's like you two both went to a meeting to meet other people. I was actively looking. I went to Poppy's. That's how I met Poppy, through her meeting. I wanted to meet people. So when you actively put yourself in scenarios and places and rooms where other people want to connect, you just might find people. And that's what I always really, really try and encourage people on the Grief Gang, of just go out and find out what's about. Like, especially here in the UK, as we said, like, we do have quite a lot going on. We've still got a long way to go, but we have got a lot of options for you to find people, and for you to find your Sal to your Im and your Amber to your Poppy. Like, they are there. And when you find them, like, you can't imagine life without them. And just to have that relationship, it's invalid. It's so invalid.
It really is. And I would, just to say, like, Im and I, we both almost didn't go.
Valuable. Sorry, it's really invalid. Invaluable, Poppy. You're invaluable. Sorry, go on.
You're invalid, Poppy.
But no, just to say for anyone listening, like Im and I, we almost didn't go because we were so nervous and we thought, oh, going to a support, you know, group, like you just don't know what to expect. It is nerve wracking, but we pushed through it and it was so worth it. And I think for anyone listening who is unsure or a bit nervous about it, just do give it a go. And like you said, Amber, there's so many in the UK, aren't there? There's your like unpacking grief community and then you've got Grief Network.
Yeah.
Talk about loss. There's quite a few, isn't there, that's happening there. Yeah.
There's absolutely nothing like that in Australia. No, like...
No.
Oh, my God. Literally I just find nothing.
I mean, it's a bit different, like, demographic-wise, because Australia is such a big country. So it's quite far between cities and states. But, yeah, there's not really a lot. But watch this space.
Oh, that is a tease and a half. That's for afterwards, guys. You don't get to hear.
Well, we're still workshopping what it would look like. But yeah, there definitely something needs to be done here because there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's just no extra support. And, you know, we put a whole chapter in our book on loneliness because it's such a big topic. And in it, we include some resources as well. Grief Gang, obviously.
Thank you, my loves.
Yeah, like if people don't really know where to go, like, firstly, the online community is just amazing. That's how we obviously connected. But just put yourself out there. Like, get out of your comfort zone and do it. Because, like Sal said, we nearly backed out at the 11th hour. And I think there's also sometimes a little bit of shame around needing extra support, like putting yourself out there. So highly recommend just do it. It's a bit like online dating. Just put yourself out there.
I think there's shame. People feel like shame for feeling lonely, but it's so bloody common. And Amber, I know you will hear this from your community and your listeners all the time. And it is the biggest topic that we hear from people. Loneliness, friends dropping away, feeling lonely, feeling unsupported. And I think we can really be hard on ourselves, but it is a really common thing that can happen in grief and a common experience. So for anyone listening who is feeling really lonely, like, firstly, you're not alone. And secondly, like, just try and find something near to you where you might be able to find your griefy tribe.
Totally. Get out of that comfort zone, guys. And to wrap up, I mean, we could talk for hours. I know we could absolutely. I need to either come to Australia or you guys need to come back to the UK.
Mate, you need to come to Australia. You bloody love it. It's amazing here.
Honestly, girls, to be honest, the way the UK economy is going, I'm looking to migrate somewhere. So
come over here. They'd love you. You'd thrive, honestly. Yeah.
I'd thrive. It'd be a great addition. Thrive. To wrap up, a question that I asked in the very early seasons of the podcast, and I'm kind of bringing it back a little bit of, you know, what would you say to your younger, freshly bereaved self? So, Sally, what would you say to your younger, fresh out the gates, bereaved self?
Everything you're feeling is normal. Because I really question, like, oh my God, why do I feel like I've been on a week-long bender and I've had like 10 hours sleep? Why do I feel like I've dragged myself out of bed? Why is my anxiety so high? Why can't I remember anything? You know, all the things that we just think, is this normal? Is it just me? So I would tell myself, you know, we unpack in our book, we have every chapter unpacks a different part of grief. So yeah, I would tell myself that everything I'm feeling is normal.
Wonderful, thank you. And Im?
I would tell myself that one day you will wake up in the morning and it won't be the first burning thought that will consume your entire fucking day and life, the fact that your mum died, because that one was a real biggie for me. I just remember thinking, I am never going to wake up again and think about anything else. Like, this is it for me. And this morning I woke up and it wasn't my first thought. I got up and I thought, oh, a bit sunny outside. What have I got on today? I went to the gym. And then, it's unbelievable to me now to think that the space I was in back then, that it is actually possible to heal a lot of trauma. Because, yeah, obviously there was a lot of trauma going on for me, but I thought about what had happened like 24/7. It just consumed every part of my being, and I could never see how it wouldn't again. Mm. And here I am 2 years in, and there are some spaces between where I'm living, which I never thought would be possible.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That really, yeah, because, yeah, so really hard relate to those of just, you couldn't ever imagine standing in front of that version of yourself and saying, yeah, FYI, when you wake up in the morning, don't worry, she won't be the first thing on your mind. And I used to almost get angry at thinking, I could imagine the then me being like, fuck off. What do you fucking mean?
Yeah.
And actually,
it's all consuming, like, isn't it?
Yeah. You just genuinely think there's not going to be a day where she's not the first thing or the last thing that's on my mind. And then when you get to that stage and it's not, and then comes the guilt, and then comes the like acceptance of yourself of like, it's okay to live your life. It's okay to live your life and to welcome and be accepting of living a good life. Like, you're worthy of that, you know? And you're yes. like,
fuck. And I remember like I would ask Sal, because she was a few months ahead of me, I'd be like, have you ever had like an afternoon where you haven't thought about your mom? She's like, yeah, I have. And I'm like, what?
Like, when? I remember that.
Remember that? And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I can't go a minute without it, you know, without thinking about it. And I was like, what? So I was always like a few kind of months behind. But yeah, I remember it happened. I think it was maybe 2 days ago where it was a pretty significant amount of time. I'd say like probably 5 hours where I didn't think about my mum. And like, still I haven't gone a full day yet, but you know, there's still a lot of stuff happening around what happened to her that I'm kind of working through. But a big chunk, there was a big significant chunk. I'm like, holy shit, what they said was true. You know, but you don't want to forget them. On the other flip side of that is you don't actually want to forget them. And sometimes that can be really hard for people to be like, I don't want to not think about my mum. Or that first day you could feel guilty as well for not thinking about them. So I just want to like highlight that too. But that's why it's so important to set aside that time to still grieve and to still remember them and honour them and do things that continue that relationship as well.
Totally. Well, my loves, it's been an absolute delight to talk with you. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you? Like, plug, 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 go, go, go.
Well, firstly, thanks for having us on your amazing pod. You're one of the grief OGs, and we just love you. So such a treat to come and chat to you tonight. And you can find us on Instagram at Good Morning Podcast, so morning with a U. And Good Morning Podcast is on all major podcast platforms. And our book is called Good Morning, Honest Conversations About Grief and Loss. And it's available wherever you buy your books. So just type it into Google and you should find it. But it's definitely available on Amazon UK, isn't it, Im?
It is available on Amazon. And we've also got a website. It's goodmorning.com.au, and kind of everything's there in the one place too. So that's pretty helpful if you're not on Instagram. Some people aren't. And we've got a Facebook support group, Good Morning Grief Support Group. I think I always get that wrong, which is a nice little supportive space for people to come and, yeah, just connect with others. And that's pretty much us in a nutshell.
It gets hard. I mean, you've got so many different areas. You're like, right, here, you can find me.
Where am I?
And you're like, you know what? Just like, yeah. Website, get it on the website and it's all there. Well, no. Yeah. Absolute angels. And love you both. And thank you so, so much for joining me today.
We love you. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for tuning in this week. I truly appreciate every single person who listens to the show. By doing so, you're actually helping more people find the show and in turn support themselves. You can keep up to date and become part of the Grief Gang community by following us on social media platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. Check out our website and blog too, and if you fancy, you can sign up to our newsletter where you will receive regular emails and first to knows on events and workshops. All links for the above are in the episode footnotes. Big love, look after yourself, and I will see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.